transformation of Disney. Eisner was hesitant but agreed to record his thoughts on a tape recorder in his car in case he decided to go ahead. These tapes convey Eisner's sense that, as he put it on one of them, he was working in the world's biggest candy store. Not everyone thrived at the new Disney. Stan Kinsey left after the CAPS project was approved to start a new entertainment technology company with Don Iwerks, a Disney engineer and son of the legendary Ub Iwerks, Walt's chief artist, who had drawn the first Mickey Mouse cartoon. While he admired what Eisner, Wells, and Katzenberg had accomplished, Kinsey was so disillusioned by the cutthroat politics that he vowed never to work in a big corporation again. Wells, his one-time mentor, wished him luck, but also showed a tougher side. "Don't even think about doing anything this company is doing," he warned him. "You'd better be damn careful." John Lasseter, the animator who worked with Kinsey on the CAPS project, joined Richard Williams' studio and then Pixar after Disney passed him over for a directing assignment. His first film at Pixar, Luxo Jr., about father and son appliances, won awards at the Berlin Film Festival and the World Animation Celebration and was nominated for an Academy Award. Jeff Roschlis met his match in Imagineering, where he was installed in 1987 to rein in costs. His reputation as the Terminator having preceded him, every suggestion was met with surly resistance by the Imagineers. They ridiculed his Triangle of Success campaign, in which Roschlis demanded that Imagineers wear triangle pins representing budget, schedule, and quality. The Pleasure Island attraction at Walt Disney World went so far over budget that it was almost as though the Imagineers were trying to defy Roschlis. Marty Sklar kept a stream of complaints about Roschlis flowing to Eisner. Roschlis was fired soon after and filed suit against Disney for breach of contract. A judge ruled in favor of Disney. 5 years into his tenure as chief financial officer, Gary Wilson quit to make a successful bid for Northwest Airlines after Wells told him he was having too much fun at Disney to resume mountain climbing or run for public office. Wilson, however, remained on the Disney board. Bill Mechanic parlayed his success with home video into the presidency of 20th Century Fox. He replaced Joe Roth. Larry Gordon had resigned the post soon after Diller became chairman. As much as Mechanic liked Disney, he knew he'd never run the studio as long as Katzenberg was ahead of him. "They always saw me as the guy pitching videos," Mechanic recalls. Seeing a second-tier Disney executive like Mechanic jump to the top of a rival studio, overnight becoming one of the top executives in the industry, sent a powerful message in Hollywood. Disney was flooded with resumes. Disney was not only making money, it was the hot studio sought after by agents, directors, stars, and executives alike. In his 1987 letter to shareholders, Eisner had trouble containing his glee. "How does one present an 80% increase in net income and pretend such an improvement is nothing special? I'd like to say that the only reason for the delay in writing this letter is my difficulty in communicating how well we have done without sounding too cocky, too confident, and certainly too proud." In the first 4 years with Eisner and Wells at the helm, Disney stock, adjusted for splits, leaped fourfold, which made Eisner's contract so hastily negotiated the morning of the board.